174 at the bottom, Memchas on top. We're going to start in middle of the page. Exactly middle of the page. Now, the Rebbe is explaining why our work now is the preparation for the coming Mashiach. He said the coming Mashiach means the revelation of Hashem in the physical world. Right now we are preparing the physical world for the sake of Kedusha. And he explained what positive mitzvahs are, what negative mitzvahs are. And when a person does a mitzvah, at that moment they become completely subjugated, like a chariot, which is completely subjugated to the rider, and it becomes one with Hashem. And he says, therefore the ultimate purpose of Tchias HaMesim is to reveal godliness into the physical world. That is what we do. That's what we're doing now. And he says like this, Ki klolus Yisrael, because the general Jewish nation, Shem Shishim Riba Neshamis Pratius, which are 600,000 souls, 600,000 primary Jews that left Egypt, Hem klolus Achayis is the general life of the general world. Meaning, the lifeline of the world is the Jewish nation. Why? Ki b'shvilam nivra, because it says that Hashem created the world for the Jews to do Torah mitzvahs. If God created the world for the Jews to do mitzvahs, so the Jews are the focal point and the life of the world. Therefore, v'chol prat mehem, every detail of neshama, who keil v'shayach le'achayis, is connected to him, the life of chelek echad mishishim ribi mechlolos ha'elam. Therefore, every Jew is 1/600,000th of the world's life. There's 600,000 Jewish souls. This is the life of the world. That means every Jew has 1/600,000th of the world's existence. What is the purpose of it? La'aleisa la'ashem, to elevate their part of the world. Bali also, when he elevates it through doing Torah mitzvahs. Like he says, when a person utilizes this world, for his body or for the animal soul, to serve Hashem, eating, drinking, similar things, housing, any appliance, any utensil that a Jew does, he is elevating that part of the world. And here is a very interesting point. One of the main concepts that Chassidus expresses, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, May Hashem mitzadi gever kenanu. The footsteps of men, people, not men versus women, people, is planned from God. And Chassidus explains this at great length. Wherever a person is, that's because that's their part of the world that they need to elevate. That is why they're there. And it says like this, Tzaddikim, because of their greatness, they know exactly where they belong and they go there. Regular humans, regular Jews, we don't know which is my part of the world to elevate. So Hashem gets us there by hook or by crook. In other words, we find a job in this city, we find a spouse in this city, we find that this and that city and this city and this, whatever it is, Hashem turns the whole world around for person A to be in place A. It could be job, it could be family, it could be whatever it is, because that's that person's place of the world that needs to be elevated. So Hashem gets us there by hook or by crook. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe is saying, any place where a person is, because there's 600,000 general neshamas, and there's 600,000 divisions of the world, every Jew of the 600,000 has their corner that they need to work on. Al Rebbe in the next line is going to say, but these are general souls. There's more than 600,000 Jews. He says, the 600,000 Jews that left Egypt, that's general souls. Each one of those is composed of 600,000. So if you want to know how many souls, neshamas, exist in the world, it's 600,000 times 600,000, which is 360 billion. Right. Take 5 zeros, 10 zeros, plus the 36. Whatever 36 and 10 zeros are, I think it's 360 billion. That's how many neshamas there are. But without, this is a, by the way, this is a mind-blowing concept. Okay? A person is where they are. They think they're there for who knows what reason.
Even if it's bad.
Doesn't matter. You are in the place you are. And it goes even more, not even on a permanent basis. Just to humor it a little bit. Man's ego doesn't need to ask directions. You know that. Okay. So they always get lost. Right? Unless if the wife buys them a GPS. Because they don't need it on their own. Now, if you get lost somewhere, okay, you make a wrong turn, you end up on a street corner that you don't even want to be there, okay? The fact that Hashem guided you there, this is mind-blowing. The fact that Hashem guided you to that block, to that corner, means because you have a mission to accomplish in that exact place where you ended up. It might be to say words of Torah, it might be to say a bracha, it might be to do a mitzvah. In other words, you get lost. Yeah? Why did Hashem, the footsteps of man are planned from God. Why did Hashem make me end up lost? This particular moment? Because this particular moment, at this particular time, needs to be elevated by a Jew being there. By saying words of Torah, bracha, davening, whatever. Okay. There's a story, one second, there's a story. The previous Rebbe was once walking with his father, the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab had to walk for health reasons. So the three Rebbe used to accompany him. It came time to daven mincha. And they were walking in an open field, like. And there's a din, you're not allowed to daven in an open area because you become distracted. So, in that area, they saw a cave. So the Rebbe Rashab said to his son, let's go daven mincha in the cave. You know, it's a secluded area. After they finished mincha, the Rebbe Rashab said to the Friedrich Rebbe, I don't know if it was 5,600, whatever year it was, right? He said to him, 5,610 years ago, when Hashem made the world, Hashem stuck a cave in this particular place, because 5,600 and what years later, two Jews are going to need a place to daven, and Hashem made the place in the beginning of creation that they should be able to daven here. And that's why they ended up in that particular place. Especially when you keep in mind the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, that even a leaf that turns over, you know, blown in the wind and ends up in one particular place, it's divine providence. And not only that, Baal Shem Tov added, not only is it divine providence about this particular leaf, this is connected to the entire master plan of everything in the universe.
So, let's say you have a cave somewhere that someone never davened in, or never said a bracha, or whatever.
And you're there?
And maybe in the whole time of the world that no one is ever there.
That is Hashem's business. Our business is to understand, and this is what Dr. Rebbe is saying over here. All of us, have certain parts of the world that we need to make a home for Hashem by bringing holiness into the place. So he says, every person has their place, what they need, 600,000 generals times 600,000. So I have a 360th billion of the world that's mine. How do I know which part is mine? Where Hashem dumps me. Where Hashem sticks me, where Hashem puts me, wherever it is. And again, not only on a permanent basis, Chassidus says, you're there once, you made a wrong turn. It's not a wrong turn. There's no such thing as a wrong turn. Why did Hashem make that happen? Because you have to be in that particular place at that particular time to do something of holiness.
Is it only the place you end up, or is it the entire journey of getting lost, or whatever it is you're going? Honestly, no, I got very lost going to the cemetery. It took me 2 hours to go to a cemetery today. So, I mean, is it the whole place, the whole journey?
Yeah.
Okay, so the second thing is, how do you know what it is you're supposed to accomplish?
If you're in a place, obviously, if you're driving a car, you can't blow shofar there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there's no purpose.
These are obvious that you have to do. So you do a shade of your Shabbos candles. I'm saying, but what if
But if you're in a place and you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, obviously you need to say words of Torah.
Like right now, I was late. I was stuck on the canyon. This car was trying to turn.
I don't suggest you take out a tillum and read while you're driving. Okay?
See, I always was taught.
But that, one second. That's why a person always needs things, and this is an ideal situation, not anybody does it. But the ideal situation is, people should know some sentences by heart, some Mishnah by heart, Tanya, something of Torah by heart, now, wherever they are.
But if you have something on your iPod and you can play
when the Rebbe, who was, so to speak, a totally committed Jew, okay? When the Rebbe walked out of 770 walking home, the second he walked out that door, his mouth was moving. Yeah. I saw it. I mean, everybody saw it. So obvious. The Rebbe walked out of 770 to his house, walked out of his house to 770, whatever he does, his mouth started moving. When guests would leave after Tishrei, the guests from Israel, and there would be buses, and they would all leave, and the Rebbe would come out, so to speak, to say goodbye to them. He came out on the porch and waited until they all went into the buses and all left. I mean, I don't know if you can't see it in the pictures, but if you saw it live, the Rebbe came out, his mouth was talking. Well, I mean, not loud, he was saying whatever he said. I don't know what he was saying. Chumash, Mishnah, I don't know what he was saying. But that's because, in fact, the previous Rebbe writes, it's relevant to Elo, by the way, the Friedrich Rebbe writes that you need to purify the air. Especially when he came to America. America wasn't a place of Torah, a place of holiness. It was very... America's different, you know, the golden, the Medina, they said, well, you don't have to be religious. So he said, America needs to be purified. You need an air purifier. How does a Jew purify the air? By going in the street, in the subway. It says a young name. Going in the streets, going in the subway, you say words of Torah, purifies the air. Okay? And the Friedrich Rebbe said even more. That when you walk in the street or on the stone, let's say you're walking on the stone pavement, and you're saying words of Torah, the stone has no problem with it. If a person walks on the stone and does on the previous Rebbe Sichas and doesn't speak Torah, the stone, so to speak, says, "What makes you better than me that you can walk on me? I should be stepping on you. Why are you stepping on me?" When the previous Rebbe was arrested when he was 11 years old, Friedrich Rebbe was arrested in his lifetime 7 times. The first time he was arrested, I think he was 11. I think it was the first time he was arrested. He saw a Russian officer beating up a Jew, and he pushed the Russian, 11-year-old kid, pushed the Russian officer away, and he ripped off one of his buttons, which is capital offense in Russia. So he put him into prison, and he ended up being in prison with a goat.
That's a calf.
A calf. I'm sorry, calf goat. Calf. Why? Because the guy was beating up the Jew because he told the officer was beating up the Jew because he accused the Jew of stealing the calf. Okay? The pearl, because of the whole story, they put the Jew, everybody was in prison. The calf and the Rebbe and his 11-year-old kid, and he was in prison. Right after he got to prison, the Rebbe writes it in the Kotel Devarim, in his diary. He writes that at that moment he realized that there's an animal in prison, and there's me in prison. If I don't speak words of Torah, why am I different than the calf? So in prison, it says, at 11 years old, he knew most of the Mishnayos by heart. So he started reviewing by heart all the Mishnayos that he knew. That is, he realized, in other words, you're in prison, Why are you there? Because that place needs to be elevated by us. Now, sometimes you can elevate it by doing a mitzvah, sometimes you can elevate it by doing business, sometimes you can be elevated, whatever. But this is what he's saying over here, that every Jew has their particular place that they need to elevate.
I would like to theorize.
I didn't say or do anything yet. Yeah?
You can see your face. All right, I would like to theorize that perhaps the saying the words of Torah is more for a man, and the woman's mitzvah is right to sneeze. So what if I go to a place and I'm just being down a chassus with myself because I'm just not going to do that with all the... I'm not going to mumble Torah. It's not going to happen. So let's say I go and I'm dressed sneeze. Could that not be elevating the place in it, like that?
It's a good thing it's only a theory, which by definition means it's not proven. No, if you're lost in a car with tinted windows, it doesn't necessarily going to do it. What are you doing?
See, I thought at that moment, this is how I was taught, I don't know. I always am calm because I always think, oh, Hashem may be protecting me from an accident, like if I was on that road and I'm stopped. I always think, like, I'm here for a reason. Nothing's happened to me. I know traffic's
going to go. Yeah, but you have to go beyond that. So why is it that particular corner could have been a different place?
I know it's never. I told her it's never happened.
I'm saying, but that's the purpose of it.
But I'm in a car. What should I do? Turn on the iPod, listen to a shir.
There's a story with the Rebbe. I heard this from the person that was actually involved in the story. When the Rebbe used to farbring on television, you know, there was time to put the Rebbe's farbrings on television. First, it was in New York, so. One of the farbrings, I heard it from a guy that manned the phone, actually. And they had a number there for people to call. And people in the middle of a farbring would be calling up, exciting about what tell us about this. So a lady called up and she said, that rabbi that's talking, he saved my life. So they said, what happened? So she said, it happened to be the Rebbe was coming back from the oil. The Rebbe was coming back from his father-in-law's grave. And the Rebbe's car pulled up at a red light together with my car, she said. Okay? And the Rebbe looked at me, stared at me, and the Rebbe closed the button of his door. So instinctively, I closed my button too. The light changed, parted ways. Okay? On that trip, she got lost. She ended up in a terrible neighborhood, and they tried to open her door. So she realized that if she didn't lock her door, because years ago nobody locked doors, right?
I remember that.
You remember what?
I remember my mom driving and saying we have to lock the door.
Okay, so I'm saying, but this lady said that I would have gotten hurt or killed, who knows what, she called up to thank the Rebbe for saving her life. So the Rebbe had a mission at that moment, just stopping at a red light, to look at this lady, to close the button. Every person can have their own mission of what they need to be done. You can be in a place. I'll give you another example. See, if you look at it from the broader scope of everything, you're walking in a store, okay, and somebody is crossing paths with you. Okay? That's also Shkocha Pratis. That's also Divine Providence. Why did you meet them? Maybe it's just to say good morning, good afternoon, hello. Saying something nice to a person could also be elevating the place. It doesn't have to be something super holy.
I think I'm right about the sneeze thing, by the way.
Okay.
The more I think about it. It's not just about the tinted windows, it's about the being.
It's
not about example, it's about being. Having respect.
There is active roles and passive roles. What you're describing is a passive role. Torah doesn't want us to be passive, Hashem wants us to be active. Remember the famous story, the Rebbetzin used to go for, again, when the Rebbetzin wasn't well, she had to go out to get fresh air, and one of the guys that drove her, he used to go to Brighton Beach over there in that area. But one time there was a detour, so they couldn't go the normal way they went. So they went off. Okay? And they came by a certain, it's a famous story, the Rebbe Tzachai Moshka. They came to this place, and they saw there was a Russian couple standing outside their house, crying, and they saw like a moving truck, that they saw basically they were being evicted. They were probably being evicted. And the Rebbe told the driver to stop, and he should find out what's going on there. So he came back and he found out that this couple was evicted because they didn't pay a few months' rent. So the Rebbe said, find out how much it is. He found out how much it is. The Rebbe wrote a check, gave it to them and said they should keep him back, you know, let him back in. Okay? The Rebbe realized, because it was a detour, and Hashem made the detour, and they ended up in a different place, and they saw something, that if it wouldn't have been a detour, they wouldn't have seen it, because it wouldn't have gone that way, they would have gone the regular way. There is something that you need to learn from that, to act. What was the action? To help out another Jew. That's active, not passive. What?
So, aren't there also stories, kind of like what Esther's saying about Bachman who gone, like in the summer?
I heard the Sikh of an, I heard it from the Rebbe himself.
Where there were Yidden, they couldn't find any Yidden, and then it would turn out that someone looked out the window or whatever, and they saw...
But they were actively walking.
Da, 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 and all that.
They were actively walking. You don't know what you can accomplish. When I was at Bacha, we went to Merkel Shlichus to El Paso, Texas. One of the places my friend and I went to El Paso, Texas. We don't...
What year? My mom's born there. That's why I never heard El Paso out loud.
In the early 70s. Anyway, so somebody told us, there's an army base in El Paso, Texas. So somebody told us that there's some Israeli soldiers there. Okay? We come there, and we asked for the chaplain, the Jewish chaplain, he finally came, some yokel, and I told him that there are some Israeli soldiers there, we want to meet them, put on film with them, and, you know, whatever. He said, not that I know of. He said, well, let me check it out. Okay? He was away, I'm not exaggerating, 2 hours maybe. We're thinking to ourselves, let's get out of here, we're wasting time, you know? We decided, no, if it's so difficult, we're having such a hard time with it, it's probably more important. So he decided, let's stay. Then result, he came back afterwards, after mamish a few hours, we're sitting like golems, you know, waiting there. He came back, and he said, yes, there's a bunch of Israelis on a far out part of the base. We went there, there's probably like 50 Israeli soldiers. We put tefillin on with them and we spoke with them. It was unbelievable. Okay? We didn't know anything. One of the bachim was very close with the Israeli council in New York. And he told him, hey, you know, the boys met your soldiers in El Paso, Texas. The guy says, what? That is top military secret. Nobody knew they were there. He says, well, the Bochum found them, they put tefillin out with them, and they sang with them, and talked to them. It was really great. You can never know. You end up somewhere, there's a reason why you're there. Not only passive, it's active, because you need, that's where Hashem made you there. That's what a Jew needs to learn. And he says, this is actually what prepares the world for Mashiach. Mashiach is the revelation of godliness all over the world. So by us preparing the world, by utilizing the world, elevating the world, that is the making the vessel for Hashem, for Mashiach to be revealed. And he says, V'chol sheidish mischalak, like 8 lines from the bottom of the page, V'chol sheidish mischalak l'shishim ribin yitzutzis, every one of these general 600,000 divides itself into 600,000 sparks, shakol nitzutz is neshama achas. Each spark, meaning 600 times 600,000, is one neshama, V'chein b'nefesh v'ruach b'chol elam. The same thing, not only in neshama, but nefesh and ruach of each of the four worlds. Atzilis b'riya yitzir nasiya. And he says, v'chol nitzitz l'yodad l'ilam hazeh. All the sparks, meaning every neshama, didn't come down into this world. Even though it's yirida g'dayil, it's a tremendous descent. U'b'chinas golus mamish, mamish in a level of exile. Okay? And he says, why is it exile? He says, like this, even a holy man down here, his level of relationship with Hashem is nothing compared to what it was before the neshama came down. Okay, we're going to have to stop here, but just to tell you outside what he's saying, what Dr. Rebbe is elaborating on, why in the world does a neshama come down into a physical body, which is such an exile and such a concealment of godliness, that even if it's a holy tzaddik, it's still nothing compared to what he had in Gan Eden, is only to elevate the world, that part of the world that we exist on. That's the only reason why God created the world, by the way. The only reason God created the world was because at this particular moment, this particular time, and this particular place, this particular Jew was there to do a mission. That's why Hashem created the world.